Hey, this is Pastor Garlock from First Christian Church in King City, Missouri. We're glad that you found our podcast, and we pray that the contents of this podcast are a blessing to you and to yours. Enjoy. I just want to share from my heart today from a few passages of Scripture, something that I felt at first that God was just speaking to my heart about me, but then in prayer I felt like it was for me for sure, but it was for some of you as well. And I say some of you, and I hesitate to say this, but we're all at different places and spaces in life, right? It's hard to talk to 80 people and hit everybody right where they are. And I believe the Holy Spirit can do that. I believe the Holy Spirit can speak some truth to every person in the house. But I really believe that this message is specifically for some of you, okay? So if you would, in just a moment, we're going to read a verse and then pray. I'm going to ask you to open up your heart to the Holy Spirit's working this morning and just allow the truth of Scripture and the truth of Jesus to lead and guide us into what He has for us, not just today through this message, but in the future that God has for us as individuals. Amen. John chapter 1, we're just going to read verse 9. This is on the heels of John 1 verse 9. This is on the heels of John introducing us to John the Baptist. So in the verse before, John the disciple tells us about John the Baptist, that he's not the light, but he's bringing testimony to the light. And then in verse 9, John gives us a description of who this light is. John chapter 1, verse 9. That was the true light, which gives light to every man that is coming into the world. The true light that is giving light to every man, some of your versions say, giving light to the whole world, that light was coming into the world. Let's pray about it, and then we'll talk about it. Father God, I thank you so much for Holy Scripture and the truth that we find here. I thank you for your people that are gathered here this morning, and we pray, God, that you would have your way and work your will through everything that is said and everything that is done. We pray that our hearts would be open to receive your truth to us this morning, and we ask, Lord Jesus, this would not just be an ordinary service, that this wouldn't just be a time where we gather together and feel better when we leave, but it would be a time of transformation for our life. We pray that your light would appear to us today and bring light into where there is darkness. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name I pray all of these things. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So this is Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany is the church holiday that we celebrate the Magi coming and offering their gifts to the newborn king. The biggest takeaway and the biggest truth that I believe that we need to take away from the Epiphany is that the light of God is for all people. And that's what we just read in John chapter 1, verse 9, that the light that has come into the world is for all men. It's for all people. It's come into and for the whole cosmos, the whole world. And I want to point out to us this morning the difference between a light and the light. Okay? Jesus is the light of the world. Let's put a capital W on the light of Jesus, okay? But let's think about the Old Testament just for a second. I was thinking about Moses, who is called to deliver the children of Israel, right? He is sent to the children of Israel who have been slaves for 400 years in Egypt as a light to them, okay? But he is not a capital L light. Unfortunately, Moses is human like the rest of us, and he will make mistakes, so much so that he will deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, but he is not allowed to take them into the promised land. He is a light, but he is not the light, okay? So, well, let's fast forward a little bit. Let's think about David. Okay, King David, the second king of Israel, when he's just a young man, he's not quite king yet. He's like Simba in that he just can't wait to be king, but he is not quite king yet. And he is sent as a lowercase L light to defeat Goliath. And he delivers the people of God from this giant who threatens to enslave them. But David makes lots of mistakes. David makes lots of errors. I know that you were told about David when you were a little kid and he was like superhero figure. If David comes knocking on my door and asks if he can take my daughter anywhere, she ain't going. David's a bad dude. He really is. He really is. And so he's a light, lowercase L, but he's a flawed human, right? He's not the light. Oh, I don't know. There's so many Old Testament stories we could look at. I thought about Nehemiah, who the people of God are exiled to Babylon, and Nehemiah is called as a light to bring them out of their exile. There's people like Daniel, an upstanding man of God who is a light in that exile and gives hope to the people of God, even in the midst of them being where they are not supposed to be. But then, as scripture would say, the fullness of time comes and the light, not a light, the light, capital L, light is born in Bethlehem. Jesus, the perfect man, the perfect person, fully God and fully man, comes and light comes. And if we were to spend more time in John chapter 1, and it's not where I want to spend my time today, but if we were to spend more time in John chapter 1, we would learn that the true light has entered into the world and the darkness cannot overcome the light. There was something in Moses that darkness could overcome a light. There was something in David that darkness could overcome a light. There was something in Nehemiah and all of the rest of those flawed. Let's not talk about Samson. Lord have mercy. But there was something in these men of God who God utilized and empowered to do a certain work at a certain time, but darkness seemed to always overcome those lights. But now, the light has come, capital L, light has come, and the darkness cannot overcome the light. And this light, John teaches us, is for the whole world. It's for all men, all people. Amen. And so what we now call the wise men, the magi, there might have been three, there might have been 3,000. We know that they brought three gifts. That's what we know. And it's probably worth mentioning that they bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is a gift fit for a king because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Frankincense is incense burned in a temple for a god. Because Jesus is God, very God of very God, not a lowercase g God that somebody made up in their backyard and then tried to form something out of a piece of wood. Jesus is capital G God, very God as we confess in the creed, very God of very God. And then they bring myrrh, which is a burial spice, because we know that Jesus, now hindsight's 20/20, right? We can look back and see that Jesus is, as John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of a very few select people. No. Who takes away the sins of the world. That was John the Baptist's declaration 2,000 years ago. And it's my declaration to you this morning that this light is for all men, for all people. And he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The darkness cannot overcome this capital L light. That might be backwards for you, but I don't care. That's the L I'm making today. That's really hard. I'm gonna do it my way. So the light has come. This is good news. The light has come, and the darkness cannot drive out the light. So now, with all of that set up, let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60. And we're gonna look at verses 1-5, and I'm gonna spend the rest of my time here. I don't know what to call this. Probably the best way to describe what I'm doing and what I will be doing for the next 10 or 15 minutes is a rant. I don't think it's a message today. I think it is a rant, a pointless rant. So Jenny, tell me my points when I'm done, because I don't know what they are either. But now we're getting in that. That's how I wanted to set this up for us. But now we're getting to really what I wanted to, what I felt like the Lord has been speaking to my heart and what I wanted to say to some of us gathered this morning. Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah chapter 60, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 60, 60, 1 through 5. And you found it, say amen. If you didn't bring a Bible, say amen anyways. Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 5. The prophet Isaiah says these words, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant." Then you shall see and become radiant. If you're not looking at a Bible, I'm repeating that line because I want you to hear it. Then you shall see and you shall become radiant. And your heart shall swell with joy because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. If we were to read the rest of that chapter, we would see more and more hints of epiphany in those verses. The next verse talks about camels coming. The last verse, I think, in that chapter talks about bringing gold and frankincense. In that chapter, Isaiah is having this prophetic insight some 600 years before the light comes into the world, But he's speaking, prophetically, Isaiah is speaking not just of the light coming, but listen, here's where we turn the corner. Are you ready to turn the corner? Turning the corner means that we're closer to being done. Are you ready to turn the corner? Here's where we turn the corner. Not only is Isaiah in this chapter prophesying that the light is coming, but he is prophesying to us what the effect the light will have. Okay? That the radiance of God will come. And here's what I need to say. The radiance of God will come and it will make you radiant. That the radiance of God will come and it will dispel the darkness of the world, but it will also dispel the darkness of your own heart, of your own mind, of your own life. That the delivering light of God comes. Thank God. But it's not this just simply a 35,000 foot view where it's a gospel or good news for all people. It's good news for you today that the light has come and the light shines in the darkness of who you are, in the darkness of your own thoughts and desires and the things that you do not like about yourself and the things that you try to hide from everybody else or try to wish away, but you can never quite change. The invitation this morning is allow the radiance of who God is, this light of the world, the radiance to come into you that you might radiate, that you might radiate. And here's really where we're there. And I'm almost done. I really am almost done. I heard Mason preached a long time last week, so I'm trying to make up for his gift of gab. Here's what I felt like the Lord spoke to me. Mary is given this promise. Mary, the mother of God. Mary is given this promise that she will conceive and bear a son, right? We have someone in the house that can relate. The time is getting near. But Mary is given this promise that she will conceive and bear a child. And here's what the Lord spoke to me. That's a wonderful promise, but eventually it's time to conceive. Eventually the promise becomes reality. And for some of us, it's time for the promise to become reality. It's wonderful to have a promise. It's good to have a promise. Sometimes on the darkest days of life, that's what we have to hang on to. But for some of us, For some of us, what God wants to say this morning is that it's time for the baby to be born. It's time to stop being pregnant. And it's time for the promise to come. The wise men make their journey, but eventually they get to Bethlehem, right? We talk all about their journey, but eventually they find the place where the baby lays. For some of us, it's time to find the place where the baby lays, right? And it is a journey. And the Christian walk is not about a 30-second prayer that you prayed after an evangelist because you were scared that you were going to go to hell if you didn't. Being a Christian is more about following Jesus than anything else, taking up your cross daily and following after me. Did you know that Jesus never invited anyone to repeat a prayer after him, but he did invite us all to take up our cross and follow after him? That's the call of being a Christian. And so, yes, it is a journey that we're walking with Jesus. It's a denying of ourselves. All of those things are absolutely true. But what I'm trying to say to us this morning is that for some of us in the room today, it is time. It is time. It is time for that promise to come to fruition. Here's what I need to say. Some of us have been living in survival mode for long enough. And God's design is for us not to live in survival mode for our whole Christian lives. God doesn't just desire for us to survive. God desires for us to thrive. I believe it. Some of you are not there. And I want to be honest about that. Some of you are still on that journey to Bethlehem. Some of you are, if we use the Mary metaphor, some of you are only in your first trimester and you got a little ways to wait. But I think for others of us, if we're not careful, that we will we'll grow accustomed to our waiting. And we'll grow satisfied in the not yet. When God's promises to us are yes and amen for the here and for the now. What is the point of that? The point of that is to say this. That make sure when God swings this door open for you in the not too distant future, that you have the faith to walk through that door. To walk through that door. Have the faith to trust in the timing of God. Because the promises of God are not just simply for the sweet by and by. The promises of God are for the here and now. Abundant life starts now, right? And so I feel like I'm just going to tell you what I feel like. I feel like since, I don't know what we even want to call it, since the COVID era, time has been weird, right? You say, oh yeah, I think that was 2 years ago. No, that was 10 years ago, friend, right? That's what COVID did to our brains for some reason. And I think since the COVID era, we have been just simply trying to put one foot in front of the other. And I'm not saying it was all COVID stuff. I'm saying that the stress and the anxiety and the worry of every person around us has gone through the roof. And in the midst of that, some of you have had health issues. Some of you have had family issues. Some of you have had financial issues. Some of you have experienced deep loss in the midst of that. And what I need to say, and I'm done, is that for however long we've been in survival mode. But God sent me to you today to say that the light has come. And the radiance of God brings radiance to you. That the radiance of God brings radiance to you. And for some of us, the waiting is over. And like I said, we need the Holy Spirit's work in us right now because some of you want to believe that, but you're having a hard time right now in this moment believing that. So let me say it again, and let's see what the Holy Spirit says to our heart. The waiting is over. The radiance of God has come. And He's going to radiate the dark spaces of your life that you thought light would never penetrate. Amen. What I'm saying is that there's some people in your life that you thought the light, you hoped that the light would get to them, but really you could never dream that that they would be transformed by the renewing of their mind by the light of the world. What I'm telling you is that the baby's coming. The wise men have showed up. The light is here. And the light of God is going to radiate some of those dark spaces and places in your life that you maybe have given up on. Amen. Don't give up. The light has come. The light of all people. The light of the world. The light that the darkness cannot overcome has come to the world. And so what I want to do is take some extra moments here before we move into the space of communion and invite that capital L light into those dark spaces. What I want to do is take a few extra moments as we get ready to move into the space of communion and understand that God has opened a door for me, but maybe because I'm in survival mode, I'm too scared to walk through that door. This is the day to walk through that door. God has sent many a light to the world. But the truth of the New Testament, the truth of the New Covenant is that the light of the world has come. And His light, the light of who He is, cannot overcome your darkness. Will you pray with me?
Hey, it's Pastor Garlock again. I wanted to invite you to one of our worship services. We worship every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., as well as throughout the week, we offer children's programs, Bible study, and small groups. We hope to see you soon here at First Christian Church.